This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. A proposal may be on the November ballot, asking voters to decide if it should be a mandate that 25% of Michigan's energy come from renewable sources by the year 2025. Supporters contend it's going to make Michigan more sustainable, create thousands of jobs, and bring as much as $10 billion in new investment to Michigan. Opponents contend it's going to be too expensive, $10 billion expensive, as a matter of fact, putting an undue burden on ratepayers for the foreseeable future. That debate, it's the focus of today's First Friday Focus of the Environment. It's a regular morning edition feature on 89.1 WEMU, and we air it, of course, on the first Friday of every month. Joining me now, as she does each First Friday, is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, David.
And our guest today?
Our guest today is Steve Linder. Steve is a partner at Sterling Corporation, a premier Republican communications firm that has been highly successful in the arena of political and issue-based campaigns. Steve has a unique understanding of voter attitudes and has been able to produce big victories for Sterling clients over the years. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
As David noted in his introduction, this is a proposal that will likely be on the November 6th ballot, and it will expand Michigan's current renewable energy standard, which is at 10% by 2015 to 25% by 2025. As David pointed out, proponents of this initiative believe that by raising the standard, there'll be numerous impacts, including cleaner air and water, cheaper energy costs, and the creation of Michigan jobs. I have to say that this is not an issue area that many would think key to Sterling Corporation's portfolio. Why are you and your firm involved?
Well, that's a question, obviously, that we've been asked over and over again, is what are you doing here? And when the issue was brought to us, we have a partner in this endeavor, Byram Fisk, which is our counterpart on the Democratic side. We've tussled with them on legislative races and ballot initiatives. And after we took a good hard look at the proposal and took a look at what has happened since the initial proposal, which is 10% by 2015, had taken place, one of the things that we noticed is in a monopolistic environment, which is what we have a state-mandated monopoly, which allows our incumbent utilities to provide all of the power in the state of Michigan, that something great happened out of the mandate, and that was the renewable energy portfolio. We decided to commission an economic impact study and found that out of the 10% required renewable portfolio, that Michigan actually had done something it had endeavored to do for decades, and that's diversify our economy. We created an entirely new energy manufacturing industry, and the metrics are pretty remarkable.
Well, what are the metrics? Where specifically are we seeing the gains?
Right now in Michigan, the investment is $5 billion in the new energy economy. We provide close to 25,000 jobs right now, $120 million in state tax revenue. And all of this energy is in the machines that produce it are manufactured right here in the state of Michigan.
So with this expansion, what will that do to those numbers?
We did a further economic impact study and projected out that these numbers would go from 20,000 jobs to 56,000 jobs, from $5 billion in investment to, I believe, $15 billion in investment. And because of the nature of the proposal, most of the parts and most of the machinery and equipment that's going to be utilized will be manufactured right here in the state of Michigan.
What has been the response from the business community to this?
The response has been overwhelmingly negative from the business community. Almost every major business organization has decided to oppose this, even though groups like the manufacturers and the chamber have very active wind energy committees. And I think that part of it is because we've been conditioned through the course of our lives, through the course of the last century, that energy comes from oil, from coal, and from nuclear. And by the way, we've worked for all of the utility companies. We have nothing against coal and oil and nuclear. We believe in increasing the pie, and we think that the wind and hydro and biomass industry is greatly misunderstood. And if business folks actually took a good hard look at what is happening right now, that they would understand that those industries are producing real power to the grid.
Now, there are some companies, certainly, that do support the initiative. A couple of weeks ago, 120 operating in Michigan signed a letter supporting the ballot initiative, and many of them were right here in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area. So my question is this, where is the opponents coming from when they say we cannot afford to do this?
Their line of attack really starts with a misbelief that this type of legislation does not belong in the state constitution. And there's a fundamental misunderstanding of our constitution. This is not the United States Constitution. In 1963, when our constitution was passed, it gave the people two mechanisms for enacting law. One was through their representatives in the legislature, and one was through initiative and referenda. No constitutional amendment is self-executing, which means the legislature still has to take this language, it's only 100 words, and actually provide the framework under which it's going to be functional.
So among the businesses that have actually stepped out in support of this, because as David mentioned, there just last week 120 came forward in support, give me an example of a business that would actually benefit from the expansion of the renewable energy standard. What would happen to a company, say, like Astraeus Wind or Energetics, or pick one and provide an example, if you would, please?
Well, there are two benefits. One is to the companies that you just mentioned that are right here in the state of Michigan. They're not going to invest any more in plant equipment moving up to 2015 if we're going to fall off the cliff. There's really no incentive then for the monopoly to buy any more non-nuclear, non-coal, non-oil generated energy if there's not a mandate for it. So what you're really doing is forcing a mandate on a monopoly. So if this passes, those companies would be able to expand their plant and equipment, hire more employees. But really the big prize is something that isn't in Michigan. Right now there are large OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, that are located in other countries. If Michigan extends to 25 by 25, we are likely to attract an OEM like a General Motors, like a Chrysler, only in the wind, hydro, or biomass industry. And that's really where the big jobs are, because once an OEM locates, all of the suppliers locate around them.
Is it realistic to say by 2025 we can have an effective energy system that provides 25% renewable energy?
I've looked at all of the economic studies. We are hard-nosed, right-wing business people. We would not do this if we did not think that we could get to 25 by 25. We are already at 10, even though 5% is online. Contracts have already been signed to get us to 10%, and we're not at 2013 yet. This is a natural progression towards 25 by 25.
Well, some would say that this is something that should be done legislatively. The first renewable energy standard was put in place in 2008. That was done legislatively. You know, some would argue, and I'm sure that the opposition on this would argue, that it should be done that way. Why not?
The legislative process is a very dynamic process, but there are winners and losers, and there are those who are very effective. The current utility providers are very effective in the legislature, and I applaud them for that. I've worked for both of those companies. The proponents, who were there before we came aboard, believe that it will not get done in the legislature. There's nothing to make us believe that it's going to get done in the legislature. So we're doing what the Constitution allows the people to do, and that is to take another route through initiative and referenda.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, joined by the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak. And Steve Linder is here. He is a partner in the Sterling Corporation, a Republican communications company. Today we're talking about the 25 by 25 ballot proposal that would mandate Michigan derive 25% of its energy from renewable sources by the year 2025. Now, the opponents, a group called CARE, which is basically a front for the utilities, as I understand it, is telling us that they are already going to invest such a large amount of money between now and 2015 just to get to the 10% cap that it is unreasonable to expect the investment that it would take to get to the 25% renewable source by 2025. Consumers Energy says it's investing $585 million in renewable energy just over the next 5 years, DTE $1.5 billion in direct capital investments. And there's a this proposal calls for a 1% cap on electric rate increases. So how do these utilities go about paying for creating the renewable resources?
Well, first of all, I want to disagree with the terminology used as front group. This is a coalition of business groups and utilities. It's a perfectly normal way to run an opposition campaign. They're no more a front group than these are two coalitions that are bumping up against each other. The second part of your question, the economic studies that I've seen show that within the 1% increase, now this is a 1% over any ordinary increases that would be approved by the Public Service Commission. I want that to be clear, is that this isn't 1% from today. This is 1% on top of whatever their normal increases are. The studies show that not only can they provide 25 by 25 within the 1%, they probably will likely not bump up against the 1% cap. There's another important provision here, and that is an off-ramp. If the utility companies can demonstrate to the Public Service Commission that they can't make the 25 by 25, the Public Service Commission can extend this out. So nobody is locked into a situation that they're not able to achieve.
To that end, in February, the Public Service Commission issued a report showing that the state's current renewable electricity standard requiring 10% by 2015 has spurred, I think as you mentioned already, Steve, $100 million in economic activity. But the report also showed a remarkable trend seen throughout the rest of the country, which basically said that the cost of wind, solar, and hydro is quote-unquote cheaper than new coal-fired generation in the state. How are the utilities responding to that piece of the puzzle?
Well, again, this is terminology. If you look at wind versus all energy at the moment, it's starting to get more competitive. However, the reality is we've got the oldest fleet of coal plants in the country. By mandate, these plants are going to have to be retired. The cost of replacing those plants is what makes now hydro and wind much, much cheaper than new coal. So the arguments that we're making are you can't look at the situation based on today. You've got to look at the situation based on 5 years and 10 years and 15 years out. And at a certain point in time, coming very soon, the cost of rebuilding coal plants is going to be prohibitive.
There are differing opinions on how well wind power would work in the state of Michigan. And one of the great concerns is that if wind power is to be a strong component of the new energy portfolio, that our Great Lakes is going to be affected, that our tourism will be affected, that we're going to have a major cost associated with constructing these wind farms.
We have been able to demonstrate that we can generate enough wind without despoiling the Great Lakes. That has been a huge issue. Wind technology is becoming, like every other technology, more and more efficient. You're going to be able to generate much more power per tower than you are currently. One point I neglected to make earlier, the coal plants that we have in Michigan doesn't have any coal. We import $1.6 billion worth of coal, 60% of our energy. I would rather keep those jobs here in the state of Michigan than to create jobs in Wyoming or Montana or Pennsylvania and West Virginia.
Speaking of other states, there are 30 other states in the United States that have renewable electricity standards. And many of them, if not all of them, surpass what we have right now in Michigan at the 10% level. When people hear this, they're shocked, especially when they hear that Ohio is ahead of us. What is your sense of that in terms of competition? Where does that put Michigan, and where do we want to see ourselves in the future based on the fact that we have been historically the manufacturing hub for this nation?
Well, it's not just the state of Ohio. The country of Germany, a highly industrialized country, has more renewable energy usage than does the state of Michigan. I think what we're facing here really is just a fear factor. We're really going into what is an unknown quantity right now. And I think the fear is, can we really produce industrial-grade power at that level? And these other states have really shown the way that, yes, we can, using current technology in the development and advancement of the new energy economy to produce industrial-grade power that can supplement the grid and traditional energy sources.
Well, we are moving towards the time when petitions will have to be turned in, counted, and make sure there's enough valid signatures in order to qualify for the ballot. So let me ask you this question. More than enough have been gathered. So what is your assumption?
Our assumption is that right now we have about 500,000 signatures, and we're going to turn them in either today or Monday, which is what the law requires. Monday is the 9th, which is the cutoff date. And we will be letting the public know when that is going to happen.
Any truth to the fact that a lot of the petition gather signatures have been paid $2 per signature?
The issue of paid signature gatherers has been misrepresented. People didn't get paid to sign their name. Circulators got paid. But also, so did dozens of our allies. Groups like the League of Conservation Voters and some of the other groups out there turned in tens of thousands. That's really a canard.
Let me ask a question about municipal leadership. Some of the strongest leaders in our state on renewable energy have actually been at the city level. What has been the response across the state from Grand Rapids and other cities to this initiative? Are they supportive?
We have right now the endorsements of the mayors of Grand Rapids, of Lansing, of Ann Arbor, and several other large cities who believe that our future really resides in our ability to produce energy from much more robust sources, and they would like to have the manufacturing technology locate in their municipalities.
If the election were held today, Steve, what would you predict the outcome to be?
If the election were held today, I believe that we would win probably in the neighborhood of 60-40.
That's pretty significant. So as you look forward to 2025, then paint a picture of what the state of Michigan is going to look like and how the breakdown of energy resources will be.
Well, I believe that it'll be 25-75. There's no reason to believe that it's going to be more or less than that if this passes.
How much of that will be from natural gas? How much of that will be from wind power? How much of that will be from nuclear and traditional sources?
I'm going to duck you on this one because I'm not qualified to answer the question. I don't know enough about the energy production market to speculate.
Well, as we head towards the end of our time together, I want to ask you this. It is an election year. You are advocating for a particular position. There is an opposition group advocating for another particular position. And as a voter, how do I best inform myself and feel like I'm not being sold a bill of goods by either side and make the most informed decision?
I would go to the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission website has a report that they've issued on all energy sources, including wind. I would go to the websites of both sides, look at their information, and compare and contrast that with the studies that are publicly available.
Steve, thank you so much for your time. I'm very grateful that you came in and shared your information with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That is Steve Linder, a partner in the Sterling Corporation. For more information on the Sterling Corporation, go to sterlingcorporation.com. And a thanks to you, Lisa Wozniak. She is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and my co-host for our first Friday Focus on the Environment. We'll see you next month.
I look forward to it, David.
I'm David Fair, and you're listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.